Alleluia. Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today the Church ponders the fourth holy antiphon, which frames the readings, "O clavis David, O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you who open and no one can close, who close and no one can open, come, lead the one bound under house arrest, sitting in darkness. Come and liberate." This points to what Jesus himself would say in the book of Revelation, when he said, "I am the key, the one who opens and no one closes, who closes and no one opens." It goes back to the time of Ahaz in today's first reading, 720 years before Jesus. Ahaz, the eighth generation grandson of King David, as we saw on December 17th. Ahaz, who, when his son Hezekiah succeeded him, fired his master of the house, basically his prime minister, Shebna, and replaced him with Hilkiah. And Hilkiah was the one whom God prophesied through Isaiah would be given the keys of the kingdom, the keys of the king, in order to open with no one closing and close with no one opening. Ultimately, those keys would be passed not just to Hilkiah as the major domo, but all the way down to Jesus, and through Jesus to the church, to Peter and his successors. But we see in this O antiphon that the key of the house of David opens so that precisely God can lead the one bound under house arrest, sitting in darkness. Last time we were together, we focused on sitting in the marketplace, not wanting to move. Sitting in darkness as we pray in the Benedictus every morning, in the shadow of death, bound, not under the arrest of others, but under house arrest. Somebody just doesn't want to leave the comfort zone. Christ has come with the key of the cross to liberate us from that circumstance. You know, whenever I ponder this, I think back to Plato's Republic, the most famous allegory of all time outside of the biblical parables, that allegory of the cave, which all those were looking forward and just seeing shadows on the wall. Finally, when somebody was liberated and climbed up to the top, saw along the journey that there was just a fire there and people were carrying these statues, and those looking at the wall down below thought that those were reality rather than shadows. This person went all the way up to the light and saw that they were real human beings and came down to tell everyone what reality was, and people just didn't accept it. They were tied to the shadows. They wanted to remain imprisoned even though somebody had come to show them the arduous ascent to the light. Now, Plato was using that to describe what happened to Socrates, his teacher, but it can likewise describe the whole proclamation of the gospel, that when Jesus had come and pronounced that truth to lead the Jews from the shadows of reality, from the seeds to their full fruit, many just resisted. They didn't want to make that journey. They didn't want to make that ascend. And the same thing can still happen to us Christians. Yes, Christ has blown open the doors of the prison cell. But sometimes we, in self-pity or in habit or in introversion, or you call it whatever you want, we just stay where we are. We don't move. Advent is a dynamic season of movement. God doesn't stay where he is. He comes. We're not supposed to stay where we are. We go out to meet him. From that point forward, we just don't sit there as self-justified Marys of Bethany, as if Jesus' feet never move. If we're going to be sitting at his feet and his feet are moving, we're going to be moving. He changes us to continue to go. This was a challenge for Ahaz. In this gospel, I know why we want to focus just on this, but if we focus just on these words, we don't understand what they mean. Ahaz was 18 when he became king, same age as his seventh generation grandfather, Solomon. Isaiah was sent to him because the political context of the time was that the Syrians and the Israelites were conspiring against Judah, of which Ahaz was king, and Ahaz was being tempted to form an alliance with the Assyrians, to Tiglath-Pileser III, although I know you knew that, to defend against the Syrians and the Israelites. But what it would lead to, that alliance would eventually be the whole cascade of bad decisions that would precipitate the exile. So Isaiah went and said, don't form this alliance. And Ahaz was trusting more his political advisors than the prophet of the Lord. And so Isaiah says, ask for a sign. And then all of a sudden he gets religious. Oh no, I won't ask. I won't tempt the Lord. As if he's not going to jump off the temple parapet because he will not put the Lord, the God, to his test. Isn't he so pious? No, the reason why he wasn't going to ask for a sign is God would give the sign through Isaiah. Then he would be bound by the sign. And he would know that what Isaiah was saying for God was true. And that's why Isaiah, exasperated, says, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also weary God? Faking it. Not even opening yourself up in your own self-imposed house arrest to the light that God's going to give you in order to rule his people correctly. Rules people with wisdom. And so Isaiah nevertheless says, therefore the Lord will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him God with us. Now, most biblical scholars will say, in a sense, that did have a primary fulfillment in his own child. It was a sign that God was with him. He should be named Emmanuel so that Ahaz will never forget that God's with us in every circumstance. The name would mean that. And the term virgin there was unmarried girl who had never had sex with anybody else. That was the way that it was interpreted in its immediate application. But we know that 700 plus years later, there would be another girl who, when conceiving, would remain a virgin and would give birth to someone who would not just be a sign of God's perpetual accompaniment, but God in the very act of accompanying his creatures, taking on our own humanity. That's the great sign. In the gospel, we see that sign being fulfilled when the archangel Gabriel came and announced the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit so that that virgin might conceive. Emmanuel within, God with us, God saves, Jesus. That he was with us precisely always to save. He was coming as that key to liberate us from our self-imposed prisons. Why Mary was able to say yes is that she was always ready to move. As soon as she understood the modality, that's her question. Unlike Zechariah's yesterday, which was a doubt, Mary asked about the modality. How can this happen if I'm going to remain a virgin? Her question would never have come if she was ever planning to make love to Joseph. Otherwise, she would have well known how she'd conceive and bear a son. The only purpose for the question is that she had already committed herself in virginity to the Lord. Is the Lord asking me to change the commitment that I've made? Please help me to understand how this is going to occur. And the Holy Spirit would help her to conceive while remaining miraculously a virgin. And give birth while remaining miraculously a virgin. As soon as that happened, Mary free said, Fiat, let it happen to me according to your word, because I am the Lord's servant, entirely body and soul. Why was Mary capable of that yes? Well, you all know the catechetical answer, because she was immaculately conceived so that she could say that yes. But the biblical answer is given to us in the responsorial psalm. She was able to let the king enter within, because the one who could ascend with the Lord and stand in his holy place has a threefold purity, whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. Mary teaches us how to have holy desires. Desires for what God wants, not for vain things that are passing, not for the shadows, whose heart is clean. Mary's heart was immaculate. It was the place where God was received even before her womb received. It was a place of a wholehearted yes to God. Was a heart that was clean, like Ezekiel had prophesied that God would give us as a transplant. We remember in Fatima that Mary referred to that heart and asked us to consecrate ourselves to it. And the future Pope Benedict's commentary on that third part of the Fatima message was that a heart that's pure is more powerful than all the bullets and hijacked airplanes in the world. She wants us, as we approach Christmas, to have a similar heart and to treasure what God treasures, because there will our heart be. Finally, whose hands are sinless, who doesn't take, who doesn't steal, doesn't bribe or be suborned, but in fact who uses the hands to touch with great love and to be folded in prayer. Mary was able to make her yes because her desires, her heart, and her hands were not just sinless, but holy. They had been given over to the Lord. She's praying for us to make a similar consecration. Today, as we prepare to receive within us the same clavis David, the same key of David that she carried within her for 9 months, we ask through her intercession that we might follow her son out from the place where we're seated out of whatever darkness in which we're abiding, out of our self-imposed incarceration, into the light as Mary gives birth to him. We ask that we similarly might become signs for others that God is still with them as he seeks to use us like that liberated man in Plato's allegory to teach people about the real, real world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.